141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we reflect on another big weekend at both ends of the table. Celtic are getting closer to the title after a 1-1 draw with Rangers keeps the gap at 6 with 3 to play. The Hoops cleaned up at the PFA Awards with Callum McGregor winning Player of the Year, Leila Bada the young player and Ange Postecoglou the manager. And there were massive wins for St Mirren and Aberdeen, which all but leave St Johnstone and Dundee as the bottom two. It's the top two pundits for you this evening, though. You've got Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
Well, it's now a case of when, not if, where Celtic's title win is concerned. The win over Hearts on Saturday could spark the celebration that's followed by the coronation. But before then, Rangers' performance against RB Leipzig in the Europa League on Thursday night will tell us if the effort they put into yesterday's derby has had any effect on them or none at all. The league's gone for Rangers, but they're still in with a chance of doing something that'll give them immortality if they succeed.
Yeah, weekend, Kenny.
It would be an incredible achievement if they can go and see over that final hurdle in the Europa League on Thursday. Obviously, they've got a big, big final on the 21st of May as well, which I think is a must win. You know, yesterday was probably the last chance, albeit still would have been tough to wrestle that lead away for Celtic. But yesterday a win would have been able to just maybe make Celtic put a little bit of pressure on them. But it's as we were, and all eyes go on to Thursday night now.
Did it feel like a big weekend at both ends of the table, Hugh? You know, if there was a hope of Rangers clawing it back, did that end at the weekend? And if there was a fear of Aberdeen and St Mirren getting dragged in, did that end at the weekend?
I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, like Ange Postecoglou, is a classy guy. And he conceded the title without actually using that word. So if Giovanni Van Bronckhorst thinks that Rangers needed a win but only got a draw, and that swings it in Celtic's favour, then who am I to disagree with him? And at the other end of the table, St Johnstone's performance was, quite frankly, shocking. They are in free fall and they had better pull themselves together. Dundee will go down automatically. But if St Johnstone want to win the playoff, they're going to have to find spirit from somewhere.
That's why it's the business end of the season, Kenny. You need the result to either get you over the line to win things or get you over the line to stay in the division. You know, this is when seasons are, you know, it's make or break time, isn't it?
And this season's been built up for this. You know, we've talked about it for about the last 3 or 4 months, how the league was panning out. Obviously, it's the big two going for the league title. Hearts pretty much nailing third for a long, long way out. The next seven teams, mm-hmm, all fighting for top six. And that's now been decided. And now there's a few teams with not a lot to play for. But now at the bottom, after Saturday's results, huge win for Aberdeen, massive win for St Mirren. And now that does, like you say, it probably condemns Dundee to relegation unless they can find a way to win a few games. Not just one, they're going to need to win a few. And St Johnstone probably looking at that playoff spot.
Come on then, 01419511025. What did you make of the weekend's action? It's a good time to pick up the phones. Obviously, yesterday's meeting in the East End of Glasgow is a good place to start. Is that it done? Was it done anyway? What does yesterday do? How much is it set in stone now for you? Or is there anyone out there who still thinks there is that glimmer of hope from a Rangers perspective? What did you make of the game itself? Obviously, Celtic had chances, Rangers had chances, a share of the spoils in the end. Pick up the phone and let us know. And right down the league, what about you Aberdeen fans, St Mirren fans? Come on and breathe a sigh of relief if you like. Big win for Dundee United over Motherwell to put them in the driving seat for a European spot as well. So whatever is on your mind, there was PFA awards last night. We've even had news this evening that Scotland's champions will now 100% be in the group stages of the Champions League. We kind of knew that was coming, but it's been confirmed today. So 01419511025. It is a Monday night though, Hugh, which means you need to pick a result of the weekend. Go.
Celtic won, Rangers won. A draw was a title winning result for Celtic. It gave them 29 league matches in a row without defeat and maintained their record of not having lost a game at Celtic Park in the league this season.
I see your point. You wouldn't do a draw at other parts of the season, but yeah, it is that time of it. Kenny, your result of the weekend?
I'll go for St Mirren. I think that's such a big result, and at that time hadn't won a game since obviously Stevens came in. It was a long run, and then to get that win and just move them that give them that safety of kind of falling into that playoff fight. It was a big one.
Seems fair to me. What about your goal of the weekend?
I'm going Fashion Sakala. We had a look at it yesterday and wondered if Joe Hart could have done more, but I send Joe Hart away from this court with no stain on his character. It was a terrific shot from Fashion Sakala. It had accuracy and power, and it was too good for Joe Hart.
Not bad. Kenny, you scored a few in your time. What caught your eye this weekend?
There wasn't many in the top flight.
I'll
go for the winning goal in my result of the weekend. I felt it was a well constructed goal, cut back to Kilty, and he finished it off, which turned out to be the winning goal and a really, really important big goal for someone.
Yeah, Guy Kilty, you could see the celebration. They knew exactly how important that goal was. This is the fun bit, let's be honest. Your howler of the weekend. We'll start with you then, Kenny.
I'm going joint. To go along with Hugh's result of the weekend, Maeda had two wonderful chances, a header and a smash over the bar. And then Sakala also had the chance to go through and win. So I'll go one for both teams with opportunities to win the game for the team.
A joint award. Look at this guy. He's hung up the boots, we think. Finally, now he's sticking it to strikers everywhere for missing chances, Hugh Keevans.
Condemn everybody. I like his style.
Your howler?
Well, I've got to go for John Beaton's foul on Matt O'Reilly at Celtic Park. If John had seen that through VAR, would he have booked himself?
A tongue-in-cheek one from Hugh, which suggests that maybe, unheard of, there weren't too many howlers out there this weekend. Who knows? 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. It was 1-1 between Celtic and Rangers yesterday. It leaves Celtic 6 points clear, 3 games to go. Let's bring in Adam, who's in Eaglesham. From a Rangers perspective, Adam, what does yesterday mean in the big picture?
Well, I think as a Rangers fan, it means that Thursday night it's all about Thursday night now. You know, I think had we got a win, that would have been fine. That would have maybe made it a wee bit easier for Celtic to slip up potentially at Hearts. But it just sort of looks like they're maybe now going to go and do what they need to do. But from a Rangers perspective, when I'm speaking to my pals, we're focusing on Thursday. We've got the cup finals that we look forward to. And I'm actually okay with that. I think Thursday night's a big one, historic, so let's focus on that.
Did you have that glimmer of hope left then until yesterday, or did that go before then?
Ever the optimist, you know, you think if we had got a wee win there, that just pegs it back that wee bit more, and you never know. But, you know, I'm also a realist as well as an optimist, and I think now we just need to focus what's in front of us, and that is Thursday night.
Yeah, that seems like a sensible approach, Hugh. Look, had Rangers won yesterday, it still would have been tough, and Celtic still would have been favourites. But we would have been talking 3 points with 3 games to go, and you know, you've got a proper title race on your hands in that instance. So this is why I think everyone agrees that the point obviously suited Celtic.
Yeah, of course it does. And Adam's right to focus now on RB Leipzig. If Rangers were to win the Europa League, they would be immortals. It would be, in 2022, an unbelievable achievement for a club from Scotland to win a European trophy. That's normally the business of Liverpool and Manchester City and anyone else you care to name. But a Scottish team winning a European trophy? And look at the teams they're beating to get to this stage. So Adam's quite right. Everything now is about RB Leipzig.
Kenny, at what point, you know, was it yesterday? Is that what sealed it for you, or did that happen prior to yesterday?
I think it was always going to be a long, long way back. I do feel had Rangers got that one and Sakala managed to edge that one off the inside of the post and it found its way over the line, I think it would have been game on. Going to, particularly with the next game being Hearts, I think Hearts are a strong team. I think they can more than what they could come to Celtic Park and cause a lot of problems for Celtic. But the fact that it never, I think that was a definitely confirmation for me yesterday.
Now, what about the game itself, Adam, yesterday? What did you make of it?
Do you know, I always deal with those firms. If your team goes on top, it's great, and all that sort of thing. You know, you can talk about we were this, we were that, we were first of the ball, we were better. However, I thought the draw, I thought it was pretty fair. I mean, Celtic had their moments where they were on top, Rangers had moments when they were on top. And I think from a spectacle, you're a neutral, as the phrase goes. It was a really good game and a good spectacle for Scottish football. And it sort of puts me in the frame of mind for next season. I'm thinking, if Gio can get a wee bit of cash behind him, maybe get a few more of his own players in, Postecoglou has done that already. So quite exciting, actually, for next season.
Yeah, Hugh, what about the 90 minutes itself?
The first 20 minutes were ropey. I thought it was a 70-minute game, and the 70 minutes were very exciting. Maeda has missed two stonewall chances to put Celtic further in front. Sakala, I think, should have scored with the one that came off the post. But in that atmosphere, for 70 minutes, both teams gave us a right good spectacle.
Adam says the draw was just about fair. I'm getting the feeling Adam's a bit too level-headed for us on a Monday night. Kenny Miller, would you go along with his assessment?
I have to agree. I think at both moments, had Maeda scored one of the two chances, the header or the one he put over the bar, that would have been 2-0 and game over. But then Rangers, for me, were definitely the better team over the course of the second half. They got their equaliser. They were completely in the ascendancy. And when you go through one-on-one with a chance to go in which to keep the title race alive, I have to agree with you. Yeah, you've got to score that chance. He's done a lot right, to be honest with you, but he never got it over the line, never finished it off. And like I said, both teams had their opportunities to win the game, but that moment, it was a huge moment.
You look at that, you know, that Maeda chance in particular. What is it, just the presence of Alan McGregor that puts him off? He seemed to sort of pull his head back, duck out of it a little bit.
Yeah, listen, I think any striker would definitely have the opinion that the goalkeeper's got to be coming out here and looking to make contact. So I think he's done enough to put him off. In that moment, do you take the hit? I mean, I've been in that situation a few times, probably done that a few times. I've also taken the hit a few times to get the goal. So in that environment, an Old Firm game, I think I would have taken the hit and just kind of rammed that header into the ground and into the goal.
Jota had a terrific chance as well. Yep. You know, he went for the Hollywood finish with the header. He had time enough to bring the ball down his chest, and you know, at that point, Alan McGregor would have been long odds against saving it.
On Sakala's chance then, Kenny, what can he do better? And I get the answer is score, right? So let's move by that. I mean, you're right to say, obviously, he does a lot right. You're talking inches here. Joe Hart kind of spreads himself. Can he squeeze it far post, or what is he?
You know, I'm going to go against the grain here, right? Because I'm fed up hearing people saying, you've got to go across the goalkeeper. No, you've got to score. You know, I love that near post finish because everybody expects you to go far post, but it is the nearest point for you to the goal. So that's why I would go that area more often than not. The bottom line is you've got to score. Whether you go low near, high near, straight over the keeper, through his legs or far stick, you just have to score. When you're one-on-one as a forward, or any player for that matter, you need to score. But like you say, he's done a lot right, and I don't even think we're talking half an inch. You know, he's so close to just squeezing it in the near post. And you would have said it's a wonderful finish had he scored it, and it would have been a brilliant 10 minutes of the game that he had. So he's really unfortunate, but unfortunately, these small margins decide games, and it just went against fashion in that moment.
Adam, that was a pleasure. Speak to you soon.
Okay, mate. Cheers.
Good man. That was Adam, Rangers fan from Eaglesham. Let's get the Celtic perspective from Stevie. What did you make of yesterday, Stevie? Where does this leave things?
Celtic could have won the game in the first half. Rangers could have won the game in the second half. I don't think Celtic fans are overly disappointed with the draw. Okay, the party's on hold. The main point here is Celtic had the comfort, the security blanket, the pleasure of knowing, even if they won, it wasn't a disastrous, catastrophic end of story. But Rangers, on the other hand, really had to win to put the pressure on. But the reason I'm phoning is there was a guy on yesterday called Les, and he was talking about bubbles getting burst and all that, Japanese players being worked out and all that. I would suggest to you that the biggest bubble that's been burst this season is Rangers not winning the league, because before a ball was kicked, Celtic were tipped to be second, third, fourth, fifth, Eddie Howe scenario, Ange an unknown. You know, big, huge turnover in players, rebuild, lost the captain, lost the striker, lost the best defender. And if you're talking about bubbles being burst, there ain't a bigger bubble than that. That bubble getting burst is so big, the Celtic team could have had a bath in it.
He's been up all night
working on
that,
Stevie.
One.
He's pulled it off. Executed it well. It is that swing, Hugh.
Yeah, 31 points.
That has the Celtic fans feeling in a place that they just didn't see coming. And it's not just Celtic fans, no one saw coming.
From the Celtic supporters' perspective, the 31 point swing is all important. Ange Postecoglou coming in, getting off to a very bad start, followed by a magnificent 29 game unbeaten run. They're looking at all these factors and thinking, and you know, you will not be able to find a Celtic fan who thought they would win the title. No one thought Celtic would win the title, so there's great satisfaction for the Celtic supporters. But the Rangers fans are consoled by the Europa League. They have performed magnificently in the Europa League, and they are 90 minutes away from a European final. I'm not saying they're doing cartwheels because Celtic have won the league, but they are consoled by the fact that they are still in with a chance of achieving something that is monumental.
Yeah, it's not over yet, Kenny, people keep saying, but for everyone assessing it, you know, it looks like it's pretty much there. And we spoke about this yesterday. The pre-season expectations have to be taken into account, because you can't have a scenario where everybody, as Stevie says, writes off Celtic. No one gave them a chance. You have to then bear that in mind when they do get over the line as a sort of mark of the achievement, don't you?
Listen, it'll be a wonderful achievement. Even in that first three or four games, there was a lot of kind of negative surrounding Ange, some of his players, some of the way they were playing, definitely the results, and it looked like it would maybe been a long, hard season for them, and it was going to be that kind of transitional year where there is a big rebuild going on. But he turned it around so quick. You know, that they hit the ground running. They went, they're on this incredible domestic unbeaten run. In the league. It's just been a wonderful scene. Some of the football they've played has been good to watch. You know, it has been. So yeah, you're right. Taking into everything that went on in the summer, last summer, for them to go and win the League Cup in December, and if they go and finish the job off, which everyone expects them to do, and lift the league title, then it will be a wonderful achievement for Andrew's players. And you know, and it's about now. It took Rangers a few years to kind of turn that tide. You know, Celtic have flipped it back straight away. It's now Rangers, because there could be a bit of rebuilding going on at Rangers in the summer with the players that are out of contract. Even guys that are not going into their final year, that needs to be looked at, whether it's re-signing or they'll be looked to cash in at this moment. So there could be a bit of comings and goings at Ibrox as well this summer. So it's ball back into Rangers' court, and you must respond.
I accept, Stevie. There is a hypercritical nature. Oh, he's gone. He's just disappeared, has Stevie. Never mind, we'll get him back maybe, or we'll line up some other calls. 01419511025. I'll tell you what, it seems like a good time then, since we've lost Stevie, to run this past you.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Golden Goals.
Yes, it was another huge weekend on Golden Goals. You know how it works by now. Every time Celtic and Rangers score, we put money in the prize pot and we give it to one of you at the end of the season. It's that simple. Since it was Old Firm weekend, we doubled it to £500 a goal. Jota, thank you very much to you, sir. £500 from you. And then Fashion Sakala, another £500. Daizen Maeda, Fashion Sakala, you could have made it even better for us if you hadn't passed up those chances. But nevertheless, we're sitting at £30,500. How many taxis would that get you home from the PFA Awards when you need to escape before midnight, Hugh Keevans?
Well, thanks to my pal Albert, I didn't have a taxi at all.
Lord lift strikes again.
But over £30,000 and rising.
Absolutely. Rangers are in action on Thursday, so it could be up by the end of the week. They then play at the weekend. Rangers have the cup final, so one of you has to win the lot, every penny tax free at the end of the season. So to be in the hat, you enter by texting GOAL to 61025, GOAL to 61025. It is £2 to text, plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close 6 p.m. Scottish Cup final day, Saturday the 21st of May. So for your chance to be the winner, text GOAL to 61025 right now.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are in the building, and they're going to be joined on the phones by Darren, who's a Rangers fan in East Kilbride. What did you take away from the weekend, Darren?
Kenny Miller and Hugh.
Ooh, sounds a bit ropey. I'll tell you what we'll do. Whilst we set Darren up, let's hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst then. Since Darren's a Rangers man, here's what his manager had to say on Sky about the game.
As I said before the game, we needed a win to close the gap to 3 points. We didn't. We drew, but you know, I think we did everything. I couldn't have asked more from my players what they've given today, especially in the second half. We pushed really hard to come back into the game, which we did, and get
good opportunities to win this game in the final 10 or 12 minutes. But yeah, we did everything we could to win this game. But in the end, you know, we are two points short. I think after 60 or 65 minutes, we were getting stronger and stronger. And I think we did really well in those moments. Created, you know, great chances. We hit the post. Fashion had one against Hart. So yeah, what can you ask for more? The only thing is that we didn't score the big chances we had. I think only a win today would give us, you know, a chance to close the gap even more. But you know, it's still 6 points. You know, with the goal difference in favor of Celtic, so it will be more difficult after today. You know, I think we had a good performance today. Physically, we looked strong as well. So now we have 3 days to prepare ourselves for Leipzig at home, where we can reach the final in Europe. You know, we're gonna prepare like we always do and make sure we have the same intentions and the same character we showed today, because we also need that on Thursday.
Let's try again. Darren and East Kilbride, what did you take away from the weekend?
I thought we were good. I thought it could be anybody's game. Celtic were the better team in the first half. We were the better in the second. And honestly, it was like one of the previous callers said, it could have been anyone's game. It was a good advert for the Scottish game for a change.
Just nice and polite and respectful and enjoying the spectacle yesterday, for the sounds of it so far. Plenty of time for that to change. What about overall, you know, Darren, again, I guess it has to be the same question to everyone tonight. Did that seal it yesterday, or was that done previously? How did you feel personally about it? Because it's all going to be on personal feelings, I guess.
It was done. It was already done. You know, there was, barring any major miracles, Celtic were going to win the league regardless of what the outcome was yesterday anyway. Ultimately, you know, Hearts will probably be the biggest challenge ahead. But even if there was one or two little slip-ups, goal difference is so much of a big thing. I think it was just so unlikely that Rangers would have ever been able to pull back the league at this point. So in a way, I think looking at the way we played well, but we didn't really, and I suppose the same for Celtic as well, we didn't really put our foot on the gas properly. It was a good all-round game, but I think both teams kind of held back because, in a way, it didn't really matter to either.
What do you think, Kenny? Does the sort of jeopardy that wasn't there for Celtic, does that play a part, even if it's subconscious? If you know that you don't need to win a game, you've played, does that ever come into it?
There's no doubt it'll go through your mind, but there's no way that Ange is going to even talked about that going into that game for Celtic. They want to go, and it's not about the result. It'll be, they believe that the performance, sticking to the principles that he continually talks about, if they do that right and they turn up, that they can beat anybody. So that's what it's going to be. It's about the process of how they go about their job. And if they do it, they believe they can beat anybody. Rangers, on the other hand, they needed to show something to go and win this game of football. And, you know, I agree with the guys. And, you know, it's no surprising that both sets of fans are relatively coming out with it happy, because the last three Old Firm games, there've been nothing between them. You know, there's been a draw and a win for each in the last three, and there's been nothing. The semi-final was decided on a wee bit of a luck and a break. The Ibrox game was decided on Rangers not quite doing enough in the final third, but hammering away at that Celtic backline, and they stood up to it. And yesterday, neither happened. Misses, big misses missed on both sides. Both teams could have won. Draw, probably a fair result.
Is that the way you feel about it, Darren? Like the league table is there for a reason. It's to crown a champion and decide who's the best. But does it feel like, I guess taking into account what Rangers are doing in Europe as well, there's not a lot between the teams. Is that the way you feel about it?
Yeah, exactly that. I feel at the moment both teams have their faults, but and both teams have their good stuff. The way that I kind of look at it now is that I don't see there being league dominance like we've known for a little while. I think for the next couple of years it's going to flip-flop between Rangers winning, Celtic winning, Rangers winning, Celtic winning, because we're very much in a period where one team learns something about the other team, grows from it, and vice versa. Like, for example, I'll hold my hands up. I wrote Ange off at the start. I thought he was going to be, like, as I say, the other Pedro Caixinha, but he has came in, he's been backed by his board, he's used his knowledge of other areas and brought Celtic, who were actually, frankly, pretty rubbish. You know, and I'm not saying that as a Rangers fan. I'm saying that as somebody that I know a lot of fans, I know a lot of Celtic fans, and who, it's a team that knew they could be much better. And now we, as Rangers, we know exactly the same. We know we can be much better. And I think, given the time, once Gio has it, I think the power will go back to us. And then, like that, power will go back to Celtic as they seek to rebuild. So I think it's a, we're in for an interesting few years.
It's an interesting point, Hugh. I mean, I've no idea. We need to deal with this season first before predicting the next couple. But, you know, Celtic were supposed to, and put that in inverted commas, supposed to win 10 in a row, and yeah, and they had the dominance, and then, you know, the finances behind them, and that dominance was supposed to continue, and then it didn't. Yeah. And then Rangers romped to the title. Celtic were all over the place. They were in a rebuild. So Rangers were supposed to go and add to that and start building a run of their own, and now it looks like that's not happened.
The strength of the job that Ange Postecoglou has done is illustrated by the home performances, where Celtic dropped 12 points at home in the league last season. They were put out of the League Cup at home by Ross County. They had a succession of miserable performances in European competition against the likes of Ferencváros, Sparta Prague, Milan. But Ange Postecoglou has come in and changed all of that, domestically speaking. Where you might take issue with Darren is that there's so much to be done in the summer for Celtic and Rangers. Cameron Carter-Vickers, not yet signed. Jota, not yet signed. Ange Postecoglou will undoubtedly want another transfer window to strengthen Celtic further. Rangers, will Alan McGregor retire? Is Conor Goldson off because he hasn't signed his new contract? Will someone come in with a bid for Kent or Morelos or Aribo? So there's so much to be done in the summertime that you couldn't say from this distance that Celtic will start at an advantage over Rangers, or Rangers will start at an advantage over Celtic.
I'm going to bow to the superior knowledge of you two. My experience of this rivalry doesn't go as far as yours, Kenny, and certainly not as far as his, that's for sure. Have you ever known a time quite like this, where in the seesaw nature of Scottish football, both sets of fans are quite happy at the end of the season? That's the way it seems, Hugh.
Yeah.
It usually is the case that whoever wins the league, the other one is getting slaughtered, and the manager's getting questioned, and the players are this, the players are that. It's usually that one is up there and one is down there. But because of Europe, I'm sure the Rangers fans would rather have won the league, of course, added that to the mix. But it just feels like, for the first time I can remember, we've got to the end of a season and both sets of fans are content with where they are.
It is simply explained, for the Celtic supporters, there's no feeling sweeter than having the manager written off and the players written off after three defeats in their first six games and then win the title. So that gives the Celtic supporters their contentment. The Rangers supporters might have been on Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's back because he did at one point have a 6-point lead. Now he's got a 6-point deficit. However, they are taking immense pride from the Europa League and the prospect of a European trophy going to a Scottish club. That's why they're contented as well.
Yeah, there's a saying here in Glasgow, Kenny, that second is nowhere. But that statement doesn't take into account that you might have you do have the chance to get into a European final.
That's it. I mean, Hugh's nailed it. It's had Rangers not had this European run, I don't even think the Scottish Cup final in a few weeks would have been good enough. Like you say, the 6-point gap that was there in January is now obviously 12 points turned on its head. So it was. There's no doubt that there would have been pressure building around Rangers. I think the semi-final has definitely played its part as well. Obviously, beating Celtic, it's not just a semi-final and getting to a final. You beat Celtic in the semi-final to get to the final, so you go into it in strong favourites. Hearts will put up a fight. You know, they're not just going there for a day out, that's for sure. They've had a brilliant season and they'll be looking to make it an amazing season by picking that trophy up as well. So there is still a pressure on Rangers to go and finish that job off. Obviously, 2016, I was in the team that done the same thing and then we lost to Hibs in the final. So you can't take any solace for the semi-final win. So it's really important that Rangers finish off strongly. They can do it on Thursday night. It'll be a huge game and it's a big ask against a good team. But with that crowd behind them, with the atmosphere and the energy that's been provided by the fans over the course of this European campaign, there's no reason why Rangers can't go and see this through and get to the final and then move on to it. And again, who knows after that? But the Scottish Cup final for me is still massive. It's the first time to win a major trophy outside of the league, a cup, in 11 years. So it's been a long, long wait for that.
Yeah, thank you to Darren. We're going to speak to Michael, who's a Celtic fan. So let's tee him up with the manager, Ange Postecoglou, who incidentally was manager of the year last night. But here's what he had to say following yesterday's game.
We'll learn from that. You know, I said the players after the game, I think we've got so much more growth we can do as a football team. But, you know, their character you can't question. You know, that even when things aren't going well, they've found a way to hang in there. They've found a way to find that, you know, that moment or that you know, resilience to get the job done. And to me, that's a lot harder to find than sort of improving them in aspects of their play. We had a big challenge today and, you know, okay, we didn't win the game, but we didn't lose either, and that was going to be the key thing for us. We haven't lost for a very long time in the league. And, you know, this group has always sort of embraced every challenge without fear or favour, you know. We haven't asked for allowances. We haven't shirked away from the fact that, you know, our goal was to be champions this year. And, you know, we're in a great position to do that. So our job now is to finish it off and make sure we finish the season strong. We'll keep improving as a football team, but the character they're showing at the moment, that's priceless, you know. And that's what's going to hold us in good stead for not just this year and years to come. If we keep having that kind of mentality of just taking on every challenge that's before us and making sure that we don't yield and we don't, you know, give up at any stage. And, you know, they're a determined lot and they're determined to finish the season strongly, you know, and they know they have the capability to do that.
Michael's a Celtic fan. What's your point tonight, Michael?
My point tonight is, guys, is about the fitness of some of the Celtic players. For example, Rio Hatate, I'm very concerned about, because he's only had really two good games, Gordon, Kenny and Hugh, with regards to the Hearts game at Tynecastle and then the game against Rangers at 3-0 at Parkhead. But for me, he's no really had another better game than that. Matt O'Reilly's starting to worry me as well. So is Mida, with all the misses that he's missing. Lila Bada is a bit off the boil as well, a wee bit. There's quite a few of them, but for me, with regards to the semi-final and the game against Rangers yesterday, for me, the fitness levels is a bit concerning.
Is this you happy at nearly winning the league, Michael?
Kindly, aye, in a sense, but I'm just going to say about basically Stevie Boy, who came on earlier, was spot on, because journalists I won't name were saying about where we were going to be third place. Mr. Keevans, yes, and they basically said that Rangers would not lose a game and would win the league. So that's wrong there. And basically, I'm just, Hearts game on Saturday will be very, very difficult, I think, Gordon. Because Hearts are named mugs, basically, my pal, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, look, I was joking with Michael because, you know, so far it's all been Celtic fans. Oh, it's great, it looks like we're about to win the league. That's not to say Michael's points aren't completely valid. Hypercritical time, because they might, you know, be winning the league and that's the big picture. But is there a concern about the way they've been finishing games against Rangers recently? Is there a bit of a drop off in certain players, maybe Hatate being the prime example of them?
If not a concern, Gordon, then it should be noted, because Rangers have in the last three derby matches finished significantly stronger than Celtic. I think with regard to the Japanese players, everyone knows that they have come here off the back of a full J-League season, and they are adapting to another continent. How many of us could swan into Tokyo or Yokohama and suddenly hit it off? So you have to cut them a bit of slack. Likewise, Matt O'Reilly, last club, the MK Dons. You know, he's adjusting to a higher grade of football as well. But at the same time, they've gone 29 games in a row without losing any. So you have to cut them some slack and appreciate that while Hatate came out and said that he felt he was suffering from emotional and physical fatigue, I think sometimes if you feel that way, then that's what will happen to you. However, I do think that given a proper close season break, given proper pre-season training, they'll be fine because they've been good enough to help Celtic go 29 in a row without losing.
I think Michael's robbed Hatate of a man of the match performance against Hibs, Kenny, and maybe some others. But the general point is, he in a significant dip at the moment at this point in time?
I think so, because he's not quite hitting the same heights early in the games as what he had been previously. I'm in terms of the performances that I've seen so far from the likes of Maeda and Hatate and O'Reilly, I'm not going to rush. I don't want to rush the judgment on them based on everything that you said. You know, again, you look at the Lundstrom thing at the start of the season, it took him a bit of time to settle. With these guys, that you say they're coming off the back of a hard season, completely different culture, completely different environment, it does take time to settle. What I would say is if you're making a judgment of performances so far, I still think there's been a lot made about Ange's recruitment. I still think the jury would be out on them whether they're going to be really, really successful signing so far. But I'm not going to rush to that judgment until, like you say, you see a pre-season, they get a good break, they get a pre-season, and they come into season next season ready to go.
I suppose, Hugh, at this moment in time, whether they become superstars is a different question. Uh-huh. But it looks like so far they've helped Celtic win the league.
Of course.
And so that's why, you know,
undeniable,
Ange Postecoglou would be, right now, fairly content, you would imagine.
Yeah, and none of them cost a fortune. Ange Postecoglou used his local knowledge and got Celtic good players at good prices. Now that we can confirm tonight that Celtic will be in the group stages of the Champions League, Ange can now go to the board and say, well, we'd better get some more money spent on this team because we're moving up a level.
Yeah, I'll tell you a bit more about that next. It's 01419511025. Good time to get your call in.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou after yesterday.
You know, it was a tense game, which you'd expect with so much on the line, and you know, the consequences of a result either way. And we kind of scored and we had some great chances to go 2-3 up, and we didn't take them. And then to Rangers' credit, they fought their way back into the game, and once they scored, then they got a bit of momentum, which, you know, they had nothing to lose, so they were going to throw men forward and put us under pressure. But you know, boys still showed the resilience. Joe's made a couple of good saves, great saves, and we got a result out of it.
Did you say draw, fair result in the end?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I'm sure they feel like they could have won the game. I feel like we could have won the game, but I don't think one side dominated in totality. I think it was just it was a bit of an arm wrestle, which, as I said, you kind of expect when there's such massive, you know, consequences on the outcome. We're in a strong position, you know, we've got three games to go, two of them at home. We've been, you know, so strong at home all year, including today. We didn't lose, so, you know, from our perspective, it gives us a great opportunity to sort of take advantage of the position we're in. And yeah, the thing with us is we don't want to sort of just get there, we want to finish strong, and we've got three games to do that. Yeah, I thought Dazen was outstanding, you know, but we just had, you know, two or three really good opportunities after that that we normally have been pretty efficient with this year. But, you know, I keep reflecting on the fact that, you know, this group has been put together, you know, in the last sort of 8-9 months. For a lot of them, it's their first year at this football club. It's their first year feeling this sort of expectation and pressure. And we're a first-year team together playing against a team that's been together for 3 years. We're champions last year. They're a good side.
See, that answers Michael's point, the last caller. You know, they are, these players who have come in under Ange Postecoglou are basically a work in progress where Celtic are concerned, and they have managed to win the league, but they are still adjusting to being Celtic players and to the relentless, remorseless nature of the competition here with Rangers. Ange had a funny line last night at the PFA dinner where he said that he found in this city that everybody that comes up to you tells you which team they support before they tell you their name. So that's the nature of the rivalry here.
It certainly is. Let's get the Rangers perspective once again from Donald this time, who's in East Kilbride. Take it away, Donald.
Hello there, I'm a first time caller.
Good to have you. What made you call tonight then?
I've been thinking about the difference that we and Celtic this season, mm-hmm. and really being ahead at the winter break. The big difference really has been, for me, has been the players brought in for transfer window. Celtic brought in O'Reilly, Maeda and Hatate. I'm not sure if there's anybody else. Any of them had a positive influence in the team. They've brought in Ramsey, Diallo, Sands, and a Polish boy, I think, the right back.
Yep.
I can't really pronounce his name. Boy would never really go to get. He's stand in for our captain. Players they brought in.
I mean, I get the point. The other one would be Idiguchi, who was brought in for Celtic that we don't see much of, maybe similar to the right back in question. Hugh, it's funny because right now, as in, you know, this weekend with the narrow lens on,
yep,
you can maybe say that, you know, Hatate dipped a little bit and is O'Reilly still firing and Maeda missed some chances. But just zoom out a little bit, it's hard to ignore what Donald says. Going into the winter break, Rangers are in charge. Uh-huh. We then have a transfer window, and now Celtic are in charge. Yeah. It's very hard to get away from the notion that that transfer window helped swing things in Celtic's favour. Was it the sole contributor? We'll never know, but it must have helped.
Of course, in terms of domestic football, the arrival of Amad Diallo and Ramsey amounted to nothing because Rangers did not get any better. The fanfare of trumpets again was overwhelming when Aaron Ramsey arrived and Diallo, and they simply have not made the contribution that they were meant to make in terms of domestic football. Otherwise, you wouldn't be standing here talking about Celtic. It's if and not when they win the title. For those two to have been a success, they would need to play in the Europa League final, I think, and help Rangers win it. But they have not been worth the outlay in terms of domestic football. Ange Postecoglou has brought in players who have made a significant difference to Celtic. I'm focusing on what Celtic have done and what Rangers have done. What Celtic have done has been a remarkable show of consistency. And those players brought in the January transfer window have made a large-scale contribution. Those brought in by Rangers have not done the same.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, even in terms of games played, right? That's before we even talk about moments. Everybody knows what Hatate did against Hearts and against Rangers. Maeda, I think, has got 7 goals in 19 games. So Maeda's played 19. O'Reilly's played 18. Hatate's played 19. So even just based on that, that's a significant contribution that obviously Amad Diallo and Aaron Ramsey and James Sands haven't been able to do.
They have made a contribution to Celtic winning the league, absolutely no doubt. What we can't get away from is those don't affect Rangers. They don't affect Rangers to go and beat Motherwell. They don't affect Rangers to go and beat Ross County or Dundee United.
Oh yeah, but that's the point, though, isn't it?
But the transfer window's helped Celtic push on. But it's not been the sole factor in it. The Rangers dropping points when they're in control of how they perform in the games they play. So has the transfer window, by the way, going in, must have been September, October, you're talking about the transfer window for Celtic already. They couldn't wait for it to come around, because Ange knew what he was going to be doing. He probably knew the players that he was going to be bringing in, and he knew the impact that they would have on the squad. Rangers had they didn't need as big a transfer window. In terms of the games, like you say, the players they've brought in have not got the same number of games, the same volume and the same impact on the team as what they would have hoped. But they still had a really, really good, strong group of players who had just won a league, who were 6 points clear. Mm. You know, it's been their own downfall. Celtic can only control what Celtic can control, and Rangers control what Rangers. Rangers never took care of their own business. That's why they allowed Celtic back into that title race by the drop points in the games mentioned. Aberdeen draw, Ross County draw, Dundee United draw, Motherwell draw.
Yeah, I mean, Donald, the point that Kenny's making there is this was, you know, the champions, and by some significant distance as well. Was it all about recruitment? What about the guys that were already in the building?
Last year, coming to the transfer window, I think players need to bring in emulates players team already.
Yeah, Donald's line's a bit ropey. Well, I think I'm struggling to hear him a little bit.
But I think Kenny makes the most salient point of all. Rangers can only dictate what Rangers do, and likewise Celtic. Celtic have gone about their business correctly, and the consistency has never wavered. Rangers, and this is not why Celtic won the title, Celtic have won the title on the back of unbelievable consistency. At the same time, Rangers did not do well in the transfer window and did not do well on the park. Too many self-inflicted wounds along the way.
Okay, thank you, Donald. It's a good time to get your calls in. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. It's also time for this, the first of the new week.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, who's it going to be? Are we going to get the week off to a flyer for the listeners? I hope so. Or are Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller going to strike an early blow? It's Beat the Pundit time. You can play if you pick up the phone before 7 o'clock. Dial 0141 951 1025. That's how you get involved. So do it right now and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Pick up the phone, get in touch please, or tweet at Clyde SSB. It's a busy Monday, aren't they all? But in particular, we had a one-all draw between Celtic and Rangers yesterday. It means Celtic are ever closer to landing that Scottish Premiership title. So what did you make of the game? Where are we in the title race? Is it completely done? But what about down the league? Aberdeen fans, St Mirren fans, how big a win did you both get at the weekend? It was the PFA Scotland Awards last night, which means I've seen more of Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller this weekend than I have my own family. Friday, Sunday, I even saw this guy this morning for work in another life, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Enjoy your evening?
Absolutely great. I said cheerio to Kenny. I said cheerio to Andy Halliday.
Up the road nice and early.
I was Cinderella. I was in by midnight, but on my way out, Callum McGregor came by and I said, oh, I know why you're here. Congratulations. And any walked and got player of the year.
So you were the last person to see him before he went on stage.
Correct.
Maybe I'm surprised he didn't dedicate the award to you.
Well, he's a lot in his
mind. Want to play it down. Callum McGregor was player of the year. Ange Postecoglou, manager of the year. Lila Bada, young player of the year. Tom Rogic, goal of the year. So it was certainly a Celtic feel to those awards. And great to see women's awards dished out for the first time as well. A bit of history made there as well. So if you want to have a good old debate about who won and who should have won, now's a good time to pick up the phone and we'll speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. I think we've only got a handful of sign balls left, so we need to get some victories for the pundits. But I like to shake it up a bit. I think it'll be extra funny if we run out of balls and you might even have to dig deep and buy them yourself, Hugh Keevans. Callum is a St Mirren fan from Cardonald. How's it going, Callum?
What's happening? How are you doing?
Not a lot, Callum. What's happening with you? How big a win was that for your team at the weekend?
Oh, massive. I had a pal that's always getting on at me. He's always seen the downside of Saints and we're going to get relegated, so I was getting back at him saying I think that's how safe. So
it certainly looks like it now. So you weren't fearing the worst before the weekend, or was there a bit of that creeping in?
Truth be told, about 2 months ago I was planning trips in Europe, so I can't really say that I really looked at that side of it. So yeah, just get us to the end of the season, we'll be alright.
Yeah, that's football in a nutshell, Hugh, especially in the midsection of our Premiership. But you look at it now, St Mirren in one afternoon, yeah, a good afternoon's work, 8 points clear of St Johnstone, 3 games to go. So it's done,
Mirren,
isn't it?
Come out understanding what the day meant to both clubs, and St Mirren reacted positively and fully deserved to win. St Johnstone, I fear for them, because if that's you fighting for your survival, then you're missing the point somewhere along the line here.
It was huge, Kenny, wasn't it?
Massive. It was always going to be that when you looked at the fixtures with the two teams who could potentially be dragged into playing the two at the bottom, and you know, and the results went their way. And like you say, now 8 points with 3 games to go, it's done.
Yeah, you could see what it meant to Greg Kilty. We said that at the top of the show. Absolute joy, maybe relief in there. Callum, you still, you know, you're backing the manager. He's had a bit of stick, hasn't he? But I suppose that's the fickle nature of things up here.
I mean, I think yous at Motherwell seen the better side of him. I think he's got more to offer than he has. I don't think he was the best when he first came in with man management, but If everybody's saying he's lost the changing room and he's still getting 1-0 results, then that would do it for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Hugh, we're very quick to judge, but unfortunately, yeah. If you come into a new club, you don't get the results, and you've said a couple of things that might annoy people, it just gives critics a stick to use.
He normally would not have said that, but in his anger and frustration, he said things that were better left in-house. However, I don't think you can accuse him of having lost the changing room, because they went out and fought, whether they're fighting for themselves, their livelihoods, their families, call it what you will, but they went out and they fought for their club, and they were far more committed than the team they beat.
Right, let's crack on with the main event, Callum. It just seemed like a good chance to talk St Mirren, because it was a big weekend. Any other St Mirren fans out there, pick up the phone. Aberdeen fans, would nice to hear from you in a similar boat as well. But if we toss the coin, Callum, heads we'll see you take on Hugh Keevans, and tails it will be Kenny Miller. And it is heads, shug against Callum. So we'll give Hugh some Clyde 2 to listen to. He's nodding his head to the music, Callum. It's very disturbing. 30 seconds, just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know. Alright?
Right, no worries.
Right, good man, where is this clock? 30 seconds and your time starts now. Name any scorer in the Old Firm game 1 year ago today, 4-1 to Rangers.
Pass.
Who scored the winning penalty in Rangers' last European semi-final in 2008?
Nacho Nova.
Which Scottish League 2 side plays at Station Park?
Pass.
Who was Tom Rogic's PFA goal of the season scored against?
Rangers.
Name any team Dick Campbell has managed other than Arbroath.
I'm going to say Saints.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Ekechi Anya or Barry Bannon?
Barry Bannon.
Right, let's bring in Hugh Keevans. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
I think there's some tricky ones in here tonight.
Oh dear.
Be warned, are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go. Name any scorer in the Old Firm game 1 year ago today. It was 4-1 to Rangers.
Tavernier.
Who scored the winning penalty in Rangers' last European semi-final in 2008?
Stephen Davis.
Which Scottish League 2 side plays at Station Park?
Forfa.
Who was Tom Rogic's PFA goal of the season scored against?
Dundee United.
Name any team Dick Campbell has managed other than Arbroath.
Patrick Dizzle.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Ekechi Anya or Barry Bannon?
Barry Bannon.
What do you think, Callum?
Okay, you've given me two Old Firm questions and I like to stay away from that. So I mean, what's this all about, Gordon? You fixed us up there, mate.
I know, see if he'd got through the rest of this, the rest of the question. To be fair, the next question was about Bonnie Rig Rose or Cowdenbeath, so I don't know if that would have helped you. Next one was about Arbroath. Need to throw a few St Mirren questions in there. None of you got the first one. A year ago today it finished 4-1 Rangers, and you had the choice of Kamar Roof, Alfredo Morelos, Jermaine Defoe or Odson Edouard. So none of you got that. The winning penalty in Rangers' last European semi-final. Don't you complain about the questions, Callum. You're the only one that got it right. It was Nacho Novo against Fiorentina. So Callum goes one in front. The next question was Station Park, 4 for Athletic. Hugh Keevans equalises. Tom Rogic's PFA goal of the season. I feel for you, Callum. He was at the dinner last night. He saw it on the big screen. You weren't. He knows it was Dundee United. So Hugo's 2-1 in front. Dick Campbell has managed a fair few. Cowdenbeath, Dunfermline, Brechin, Ross County, Forfa and Partick Thistle. 3-1 Hugh Keevans. So it's out of sight, Callum, unfortunately. You both went for Barry Bannon. You were both wrong. Ekechi Anya has got two more caps, 29 to 27. I thought they were quite tough, Callum. He only beat you by two. It wasn't enough. Hard lines.
Fuck, it is what it is. Anytime I'm listening, there's always a Saints question in there, so I thought I had one in the bank.
At least you're staying up, put it that way.
Fuck, it is what it is.
Good man, that was Callum in Cardonald. A big win for St Mirren. He couldn't make it a double, Hugh, for the Saints, but
well,
you take the big one.
Better to have your team guaranteed survival than to beat a veteran broadcaster.
Well, you never know. And the sign balls stay in the cabinet. That's the important thing. We were panicking there, right? 0141 951 1025.
See, that's the value of getting home before midnight. Let that be a lesson to you young rapscallions in here who were out after the witching hour.
The witching hour.
I must say, I'm wilting a little bit, Hugh, so I'm glad it was you tonight.
It's
Andy Hardy looked in good nick, I have to say. Professional.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I wonder if that was just professional athlete or professional at handling the night out. And I wouldn't want to cast aspersions on the guy when he's not here. But
Mark Wilson looked fine on it as well. The Dazzler, dear me,
disappeared a bit early.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Early faller.
And I'll tell you who didn't look all right, and hence why he's not here. Producer Callum. Wow. Who is that guy? I can't wait to see him tomorrow.
I'll be having words with him. Don't you worry.
I think there could be a wee sick day tomorrow as
Kenny.
Well.
Did you hear about this? No, there's been a development going out him live on air.
Being a sophisticated old codger, I have hung up the dinner jacket and everything. I've put it in another room, and I've left my mobile phone in the dinner jacket. I wake up this morning, I go and look for the phone, find the phone, and if I miss call, I think, oh dear. And you know, the last three digits of Callum's phone, memorised. 4:21 a.m. 4:21 a.m.
Now, you know you've had a bad night out when you're phoning Hugh Keevens at 4:21 in the morning.
Looking for the after party.
Oh, incredible. So, yeah, we'll need to see if he makes it back tomorrow, I must admit. Right, get your phone calls in. There's been a development today. One that, in one regard, we saw coming. We knew we were always odds on, and we were pretty much there of getting a guaranteed Champions League spot.
Yeah.
The only thing that really could have thrown a spanner in that would be if Villarreal had gone on and won the Champions League. What are they, 2-0 down from the first leg anyway? And then, due to things that are not really related to football, it's been confirmed today. So due to Russia's situation, shall we say, they've been banned again by UEFA. So it's been confirmed that this season's champions, probably Celtic, go directly into the group stage of next season's Champions League. And there's a lot of good people on Twitter that keep you updated in these things. A guy called Dale Johnson in particular at ESPN, top drawer, got it all figured out. I know there's a Scotland coefficient page, which is wonderful as well. But I'm just sort of reading Dale's information at the moment, so you don't think it's mine. So to confirm, our champions straight into the group stage, Kenny, which is great, not had that for a while. The runners up, so if that's going to be Rangers fans, you go into the third qualifying round of the Champions League. So I know we keep obsessing over this idea that the winner is the only one in the Champions. It might not be. They might both make it. And of course, if Rangers win the Europa League, then it's a different kettle of fish altogether. They would go straight in. So the cup winners are third place, which has to be Hearts, really, because they're in both, is in the Europa League playoff round, which is just incredible. So fourth place into the Conference League, same with fifth place. So it means Celtic, Rangers and Hearts are guaranteed group stage football. That's the way to look at it, because Celtic are guaranteed Champions League. Rangers at worst will be in the Europa League, and Hearts at worst in the Conference League. We're guaranteed three teams in Europe until Christmas, and one of them probably Celtic, guaranteed Champions League.
Well, it's fantastic for all the clubs. To be fair, Celtic, Rangers and Hearts have been outstanding this season. I know that Hearts are a long way behind Celtic and Rangers, but they are the promoted club, and they are nailed on third place. The rest of the Premiership has to look at itself in one or two cases in particular, not having put up a vintage season at all. But Celtic, Rangers and Hearts deserve all the plaudits and the places in Europe.
And I love Dale's work, because he's crunched all the numbers, and he's obviously from a distance. Dale Johnson on Twitter picked up the mad argumentative nature of things here.
Oh.
And he's even added another tweet which says, Celtic and Rangers fans often argue about who's contributed the most to Scotland's coefficient point score to get this guaranteed group stage place. He says it's actually very close, would you believe? So for the qualifying period, which is 2016-17 up until last season, that's what's got us to this. Apparently Celtic have 34 coefficient points and Rangers 31.250. So a lovely combined effort. They both need each other and they should pat each other on the back. Yeah, something like that.
They don't and they won't.
Okay, wishful thinking. Let's bring in Gary, who's a Celtic fan from Ibrox. Gary, what's on your mind tonight? Gary, can you hear us? Gary's gone silent. Gary, are you there? No, he's not. I don't know.
Where's the hassle with your comment about everybody patting
each
other on the back?
Maybe that's he's gone. He's hung up. He still looks like he's there. Gary, one last chance. Producer Chris can try and work his magic through there and see what we can come up with. See if we can get Gary back. But yeah, that's it, Hugh. We now know for sure that that's the destination. Yeah.
Well, you know, what an incentive for Rangers to go on and win the Europa League. They then go into the number one pot for the Champions League. So that way we would have Celtic and Rangers in the Champions League, which would be massive, not only for this city but for Scottish football. And Hearts, as I say, outstanding performance in Europe and the Scottish Cup to come.
Yeah, Pozog's got a question for us on Twitter. He says, if Celtic win the league and Rangers win Europa, do Hearts then get a crack at the Champions League? The answer is no. So that doesn't happen. That doesn't, it of course, boosts Rangers into the Champions League, but it does not bump Hearts up. That place goes to one of the lower ranked nations. So let's bring in Gary. I hope he's there this time. Gary, can you hear us this time?
Second time lucky.
Good man.
So.
How's it going? All right?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. What's your point?
I was at the game and I must say the referee was abysmal. I mean, there was two instances. He missed a blatant red card with the last minute tackle, and he also had a booking that he was going to give, and he let the play go on, and then the play finished, and he did the call back and booked again.
You think is it Diallo? You think Diallo should have been sent off for that?
Absolutely.
Hugh?
Nah, Gary's got it 100% wrong. I mean, the John Beaton's performance was anything but abysmal. He got the big calls right, and you know, Celtic supporters fascinate me. They've drawn the match. They have as good as won the title. The Rangers manager as good as concedes the title, and the first thing in Gary's mind is the referee. I mean, the people never ever celebrate anymore.
Diallo certainly committed a foul and he was booked for it. Kenny, was that denying a clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity for you?
No, it wasn't. It's not a red, it's a yellow. You could see two or three other Rangers players tracking back as well, and he's what, 35 to 40 yards away from goal. There's no way that is guaranteeing denying a goal scoring opportunity. So he probably got it right. That's cynical. There's no getting away from it, but it's not a red card.
Do you think it was? Do you think that was a clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity, Gary?
It wasn't the case of that. He was supposed to have been booked earlier for a tackle, and then he let Celtic play on and he let it go. He would have been booked because that would have been a double yellow.
But I've never understood this, Gary, because see, if Amad Diallo's on a yellow before, then he maybe doesn't commit the second foul.
No, but he should have been booked in the first place. He let him play on, he let the play on, and then he never booked again.
No, but Hugh, it doesn't matter then, right? Forget Amad Diallo, forget Rangers. Like, generally speaking, we sometimes do this without getting all existential on you. If the first, you know, if the first incident doesn't happen or does happen, is the second one then going to follow? Well, no, would have to be the answer.
Everyone agrees we had a terrific match where Celtic made a one at first half, Rangers made one at second half. As a result of that match, Celtic are the champions elect. The manager, Ange Postecoglou, then wins the PFA Scotland Manager of the Year award. The captain, Callum McGregor, then wins the PFA Scotland Player of the Year award. Tom Rogic then gets the Premier League Goal of the Season award. And the first thing in Gary's mind is John Beaton.
That's all right. Listen, that's what makes our wonderful footballing world go round at times. Kenny, like, there were obviously, because everyone acknowledges, referees are going to make mistakes. They're not going to get everything right. Everyone knows that. So, was there a bizarre offside call where Sakala was given offside even though there was a Celtic player lying on the deck playing him onside? Was there another bizarre one up the other end when I think Maeda should have been flagged off? I've seen people pointing out that Scott Wright's handball, the free kick, was taken about 15 yards further away from the Rangers goal than it should have. So look, these things are not ideal. That's not to say they didn't happen, but if we can get through a fixture, a potentially title-defining fixture between these two sides, and all we're arguing about is offside decisions that actually didn't come to anything anyway, or a free kick taken the wrong place. You know, we've done all right, haven't we?
We've done all right, and again, I would rather focus on the two teams. I've said it for a number of months now. I think we've got two very good teams at the moment, two very good managers as well within those teams, and the games for me have been very, very good over the last, particularly the last three. With two good teams are going at it, you know, and there's such small margins between the teams that sometimes, then there will be times probably moving forward where these decisions, they will impact. They will, like you say, the offside, can Sakala turn? Could it be a match winning opportunity? Again, yellow cards, red cards, again, it changes the whole dynamic again. But in this one, I don't think there was much wrong in terms of the decisions.
I will agree to disagree. Gary, it's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. What about those PFA Scotland awards last night then? Callum McGregor is the player of the year, Ange Postecoglou is the manager of the year, Lila Bada is the young player, and we said history was made as well, with women's awards being dished out for the first time as well. I'll tell you more about that in a second. Were those the right call for you? I mean, it was voted for by the players, so if you think they're clueless, just phone up and tell us who should have won it. What's Callum McGregor been like, Celtic fans? Is he a worthy winner? Has Craig Gordon or Regan Charles Cook or anyone else been robbed of it? Pick up the phone and let us know, and we'll get some reaction to that next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here at 0141 951 1025. Got a good teaser for you, and very topical indeed. Were you still with us physically and otherwise to see the Young Player of the Year awarded last night?
Young player was
Lila Bada.
No, I had gone, Cinderella had gone home by then.
Well, Lila Bada was the Young Player of the Year, so this is a topical one. Can you name 9 players who've won the PFA Scotland Young Player of the Year this century and were not with Celtic or Rangers at the time? So Lila Bada won it last night, and Turnbull before that, and Kent, I think, before that. So can you name 9 players who've won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year this century and were not with Celtic or Rangers at the time?
Did David Turnbull win it as a Motherwell player?
No.
Me.
Easy as that. Him. Hibs player. 2000, was it?
2000, yep.
Well done, there we go. How does that make you feel, just 22 years ago?
Scary.
Moving swiftly on.
Yep.
James Forrest.
But he, not with Celtic at the time. Come on. That's last night's catching
brilliant.
Up on
yeah,
you.
That's, yeah. He's Walton. He's absolutely Walton.
I was home by that time. I was fine.
That's Mark Wilson's fault. He got another red wine just before I left.
So not with Celtic or Rangers at the time. We're going right back, as we said. Kenny's 2000. But some are within, you know, the last kind of 8 years or so.
Morgan?
Not to say that they didn't. Well, obviously, because Kenny's here, not to say they didn't go on to play with Celtic or Rangers, but they just weren't with them at the time.
Scott Brown?
No.
Stephen Whittaker?
No. If you keep going through that crowd, you might eventually
Kevin
get
Thompson.
Close. Keep going.
Derek Riordan?
Yes, there we go. Derek Riordan. Okay, that's 2 down, 7 to get. And thanks to Davey, who's got in touch from Holytown tonight with that question. It's full time at Clyde1.com. Full time at Clyde1.com. Let's go and get some reaction from last night. I don't mean from you and the red wine, or producer Callum and wherever he ended up, but I mean from the guys that actually won some awards. Callum McGregor was the Players Player of the Year, PFA Scotland. Here's what he had to say.
I think everyone speaks about we sort of lost the first 3 away games of the season, and you know, we're in a really difficult spot at that point, but it was important that the group stayed together. We believed in what we were doing. We believed in what the manager was trying to do. And I think since then we've been nearly perfect in the league, and we've known that we've had to do that. So we now put ourselves in a position where in the next couple of weeks we can finish it off.
A worthy winner for you, Hugh?
The most pivotal result of the season for Celtic was beating Rangers 2-1 at Ibrox. They started very badly. Aaron Ramsey scored, and you felt that Rangers had the bit between their teeth. And then Callum McGregor won the ball and drove at the Rangers' defence. And Celtic equalised. And Celtic didn't look back from that moment. And that day was probably the day that won the league. So that epitomised a captain who has led by example all season long, who was off the back of losing 10 in a row and by 25 points. And had big, big shoes to fill by replacing Scott Brown. And Callum McGregor did all that. And congratulations to him. Craig Gordon, if he had got it, would have been a worthy winner. But the players themselves decided it was Callum McGregor. And again, I repeat, congratulations to him.
Worthy winner for you, Kenny. What have you made of his season?
Callum McGregor has been a model of consistency for the last 6 or 7 years. He's always, for me this season, his performances, well, I was going to say they've went under the radar. Clearly they've not.
Yeah.
It has been noticed. But you know what I mean?
They get headlines and then they'll maybe drop out for a few weeks or whatever, but he's just
He's an 8-10 every week, you know, and he's, I said it before, he's a driving force, he's the heartbeat of the team. It was a huge responsibility has been placed on his shoulders now, having to take the captain's armband in a time that was obviously billed as a real transitional moment for the football club. But his performance level has remained as high as it always has. I mean, for when I remember back to 2015, 2016, he's just been outstanding from that moment. And you very, very rarely see him have an off day.
Yeah. We'll hear from Ange Postecoglou, who scooped the manager award in a second. Stephen's a Celtic fan on the line. I know you've got another point, Stephen. Let me put you in the spot as well, though. What have you made of Callum McGregor's season? Would he have been your player of the year?
Hi, guys. Well, I was on before and I said, before the list came out, and I said Cameron Carter-Vickers for me has been outstanding. But I also mentioned Callum McGregor at the time. He's an 8-plus every game, every single game. A very worthy winner, I.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Carter Vickers didn't make the shortlist. That he is on the Football Writers shortlist to you, which will be dished out on Sunday coming. So you could have made a case for a few, I think. Who pushed, if you were to guess amongst the votes, would Craig Gordon have been second? We don't know for sure. I'm just asking you to speculate.
That would have been my answer to you. He's had an outstanding season. He's a wonderful goalkeeper. I'm not interested in how old he is. The best goalkeepers do tend to be in the old side. But he's had a wonderful season and won Hearts a lot of points. So if Craig Gordon had got it, even Callum McGregor might have had no objection.
Regan Charles-Cook was on the shortlist, of course. Yeah. Top scorer in the league with Ross County.
Yeah, it's quite an achievement. It says as much about those who are supposed to score goals for bigger teams as it does for Regan Charles-Cook at Dingwall.
What else is on your mind, Stephen?
Gordon, I think it was you that brought something up earlier on the show that I strongly, strongly disagree on. You said something along the lines of, don't quote me, but you said something along the lines of, with Rangers being in the semi-finals and they could win the Scottish Cup, and with Celtic win the League Cup and it looks like they won the league, you basically said it's the first way you've seen both fans happy.
Yep.
Now, I've got to be honest, if that's me, right, if that's my team, that's an unsuccessful season for Rangers. If they get knocked out of the semi-final, right, and before few say they're on to diminish their achievement, I know they've done brilliant to get there, I'll say that much. But if they get knocked out of the Scottish, the UEFA Europa League Cup semi-final, and they maybe win the Scottish Cup, if that's my team, now, that's an unsuccessful season. Just winning a Scottish Cup is an unsuccessful
season. Can I just say to you...
Just to clarify, since it was my statement, you know, that's not me saying they should be happy, because I know that no one cares what I think. I'm talking about that. Well, that's what we're getting.
Stephen clearly cares what you think.
No, but I'm clarifying. I'm not saying Rangers fans should be happy. It's not my projection. It's what I'm getting in return. Every Rangers fan that gets in touch just now, there's usually devastation from the team that doesn't win the league, and we're just not seeing that. Stephen can accuse the Rangers fans of being wrong in that if he so wishes. I'm talking about what we're seeing. Look at the reaction to the game yesterday. Look at the feeling. Usually the manager that doesn't win the title is getting it in the neck from his own fans. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is not getting it in the neck from his own fans.
The way that Stephen has framed his question is very simply answered and countered. What if they do win the semi-final and go and win against Eintracht Frankfurt or West Ham in Seville? Then it becomes not only a successful season, it becomes a season that will go down in immortality.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think it's certainly a fair point, though. I think let's do the couple of hypotheticals. Obviously, look, if they win the Europa League, you're talking about an outrageous achievement for Scottish football, Kenny. So everyone knows that. If Rangers were to fall short on Thursday, so not make the final, win the Scottish Cup, where would that rank as a season? You know, Stephen's talking about successful or not.
Well, up until this moment, everything seems to be rolling along nicely. Yep, the league's gone. It has gone after yesterday's result. But, like you said, there is not the usual aftermath and autopsy of seasons of what went wrong. Whereas Thursday night, the attention immediately switches. There's been even guys on the phone over the last few weeks that are saying they don't care about results of the Old Firm games because of what's coming up in the Europa League, which is, as we know, absolute nonsense. But
if you say so,
we've got Thursday night. Rangers have an opportunity, like you say, to have a massive achievement, and going into a final, you just don't know what happens. The other side is if they don't win the Scottish Cup, you know, as well, and they don't win the Europa League, then I think that becomes a completely different topic. For me, the Scottish Cup, despite what happens in Europa League, is absolutely crucial. It's been too long without a cup for Rangers, a club of the standards and the size of Glasgow Rangers, to not win a cup since 2011 is not good enough. So that must be dealt with. Until that, they've got a massive opportunity.
I would disagree slightly insofar as if Rangers, having conceded the title yesterday, if they go out of Europe, I think the Scottish Cup becomes a trinket, because they're looking at Celtic as the champions.
You still have to. No, you need to win it. You then have to win it, don't you? Surely.
Well, fair enough.
But it might not. It's one of those sort of
acquiring the Scottish Cup will not on its own be a successful.
But
season.
It's not on its own. It's but also getting to Europa League semi-final is the point. So everybody's happy at the moment because it's a semi-final. It's been a brilliant achievement up until now. But the Scottish Cup, coupled with that, is an absolute must. If Rangers go out, if they go on and win the Europa League, like you say, it's immortality. You know, this goes down in Scottish football history, not just Rangers history, Scottish football history. That is still a huge ask at this moment in time.
That's why we are dealing in the hypothetical.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why Stephen says it's an unsuccessful season if they go out. Well, what if they don't go out and win it? Then it's not only a successful season, but a never-to-be-forgotten season.
What do you think, Stephen?
After a minute, I'll not be on here for a couple of months.
At least he's honest.
I was making the point, right, if they don't... You know, if they get out the semi-final, right, and they win the Scottish Cup, if that's my team, I'm just saying that's an unsuccessful season. The same as Celtic was unsuccessful last year when they had the squad that looked like they were going to win and Rangers was coming up. You know, that was an unsuccessful season. That's just my opinion.
We will need to wait. And when I said it earlier, I was talking about tonight. I was talking about both sets of fans seem relatively happy with where they are. That wasn't me saying they'll still be happy if Rangers get papped out of Europe and lose 5-0 to Hearts in the Cup.
But the nature of this city, Stephen said himself, if Rangers win the Europa League, he'll disappear. And that will be the attitude of the Celtic supporters. They will be devastated if Rangers win a European trophy, even though their own team has won the domestic championship. They'll be devastated if Rangers win a European trophy. And by the same token, if Rangers fail to win the European trophy, their fans will be devastated because Celtic are the champions and Rangers did not get the big prize that would have trumped Celtic's prize.
Thank you, Stephen. In air, I think we've just about covered every possible hypothetical ending to the season. We're not far away from finding out. That's the beauty of it. Let's double check on the teaser quickly. Any more answers for me? Nine players who won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year, not with Celtic or Rangers at the time.
Craig Gordon?
No, nope. Surprisingly no.
Boydie?
No. One guess from you, Hugh, and we'll move on. You've got Riordan and Kenny Miller. One, two, three. Three of your remaining ones did go on to play for Celtic or Rangers.
Naisy?
Yes, Stephen Naismith, 2007. Okay, we'll leave it there. You're a third of the way through it. Let's bring in John and Cambus Lang and get his take on things. John?
Evening.
How's it going?
Hugh and Gordon. I was just saying to your producer, I'd phoned up at the start, so I nearly forgot my points, but I'm just saying, whatever it's, the team that's top of the league is the best team. I'd go with that. I would go as well that Rangers have shot themselves in the foot this season. We've lost the same amount of games as Celtic this season, but three of them were to Celtic, and it's a draw that's killed Rangers this season. I remember that season when Celtic lost one game and Tommy Burns was there, and it was a draw. So for me, we've shot ourselves in the foot a lot of times this season, last minute goals, and there's a lot to build on for next season, but I think Gio's got to be getting money in the summer. Tactically, I think he's a better manager than Steven Gerrard because he's done a few things this season in Europe, in games, like the last couple of games against Celtic. He's changed it up because the 3-0 game, he seemed that wasn't good enough. I had to go right for the start, and I think we've got the basis of a good team. There are a couple who's going to leave in the summer, but we've got to freshen up a bit. So, and I've got a second point about Europe, if that's okay.
Yeah, I guess this goes back to then Stephen's complaint, if you like. Most Rangers fans are getting in touch, and whether this changes in the next 2 weeks or not, at the moment, seem to think Gio's the man for next season. That seems to be the feeling.
Well, I said at the time I thought it was an upgrade on Steven Gerrard. And of course, when he lost a couple of games to Celtic, I got the full return of, oh, is he an upgrade, is he? I think he is an upgrade. He's 90 minutes away from a European final. That makes him quite a clever guy in my estimation. But you have to see these things in two compartments. Rangers have shot themselves in the foot on several occasions, and that's their problem. Then you go to the other compartment. Celtic have won the league because of 29 games in a row unbeaten. The two are interrelated, but Celtic haven't won the league because Rangers shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, it's always going to be a combination of both, Kenny. We usually, once it is all said and done, you look back at key moments, and I'll say, and I'll do it next week, no doubt, or whenever it is. Celtic fans, went, you know, what was the key game for you, or Rangers fans? John has summed it up perfectly. They've both lost the same amount of games, but two of them were, two of Rangers' defeats were against Celtic. And there's no doubt, Hearts, Ross County, Motherwell, these will be the types of games that will have be playing in the minds of the Rangers fans.
Of course they will, because rightly so. I mean, again, the Old Firm games, they always, when it's tight like this, they're going to have a big part to play. There's no doubt about it. But in those games, for me, there's been nothing in them. Like that game at Ibrox, there's nothing in that game, you know. It was on the day Celtic took care of their moments in brilliant timing. Just when Rangers were completely on top at the start and right before halftime, great time to get a goal. There's not a lot between them. We'll go back, like you say, the draws at the start of this year, the turn of the year when the league came back, Aberdeen, Ross County, Motherwell and Dundee United. 8 points gone. Absolutely gone. And that, coupled with the 3-0 at Celtic Park and then the 2-1, is completely turned the league on its head. And like you say, when you go on this lengthy unbeaten run in the league, you know, more often than not, it's going to lead to you winning the league. You know, it's an incredible run. Absolutely incredible run of form and consistency from a team that we're talking about, like you say, might finish in second, might finish in third. You know, so for them to put this kind of run together with a new team, with new players coming to the club, understanding what it means to represent the club and the expectations that come along with it, it's just a wonderful achievement. So yes, both are interlinked. Rangers dropping points, Celtic on an incredible run of form. But
make,
like you say, the best team at the end of the season is the team at the top of the league.
Yeah, what do you make of John's faith in the Rangers manager and his hope that he gets backed in the summer?
I think a lot of the recruitment this summer at Rangers will be dependent on who goes and who could potentially get sold. I think Gio has to remain. What I would say on the better tactically, what I would say is Steven Gerrard stuck to his guns and went through a domestic season unbeaten and won the league. You know, just because you don't change your system sometimes the uneducated eye watching the game, that you might make subtle tweaks within that, you don't completely need to change your formation to have a bit of tactical nous, you know. So I would say it's a bit unfair to say that about Steven. Yes, Gio does make these big changes in regards to going back three, and John, he's got a player in John Lundstram. His flexibility and his versatility is phenomenal for him to step back into the three, jump into midfield. It's a really, really handy player to have, and he is crucial to Rangers moving forward.
Make it quick if you can, John. We're running late, but what was your other point?
Just about Europe. I think the last couple of weeks he's handled the squad well, and we've had to make a couple of changes the last couple of weeks and because of injuries, but I feel it's going to go, we're going to win 1-0 now, it's going to go extra time and penalties.
Oh, we're on until 11 o'clock anyway, so we'll be up late no matter what. Thank you, John and Cambus Lang. It's time to tell you about this.
Super Scoreboard European football coverage with Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, a multi-award winning law firm with a name you can trust.
Yeah, on the subject of European football, we are giving you the chance to win a 58-inch Samsung 4K TV and an Amazon Echo Show. It is thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, who are backing our European football coverage as sponsors this year. A multi-award winning law firm, all different types of services available: legal advice on criminal defence, family law, road traffic, public inquiries, personal injury, the full lot. If you go to Clyde1.com, you can find out more about them And also, that's how you enter for the chance to win that 58-inch Samsung TV and Amazon Echo Show. So thanks again to Moir and Sweeney Litigation, our sponsors of European football coverage. We'll get the rest of the answers to this teaser next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. We're on the home straight, which means we've got work to do on the teaser. Thanks again to Davey in Hollytown. Full time at Clyde1.com. Come on, the season's getting to the end. Maybe your creative juices are flowing. You can come up with a question and send it in like Davey did. Nine players who won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year this century and were not with Celtic or Rangers at the time. Naismith, Riordan, and Mr. Kenny Miller, all on there. Any others?
Greg Taylor, get it? Come on.
No, he did not.
McFadden.
Faddy, yes, 2003, well done.
Lee Griffiths.
Yes, 2013, when he was Ibs. Any others?
Andy Robertson.
Yes. Oh. I had my clue all lined up, and you would get that one. I would say one of the remaining three is horrifically difficult.
Ooh.
But the other two, so-so. We'll see how we get on before the end of the show. Kenny Miller, time to put you on the spot for some of the news that's doing the rounds today. I keep seeing reports that John McGlynn is to be named as the Falkirk manager. I'm sure that's one for Falkirk and John to answer specifically. But in terms of your role at, you know, it won't be you. Have you been told that? What's the state of play?
Yeah, well, listen, I don't know the appointment, but yep, I'll be moving on. Yep, it's brilliant 4.5 months. Thank obviously Martin for giving me that opportunity to come in the clubs, and it was a joy to work with them. You know, it was a tough season for everybody involved, but it was coming back for Australia. It was brilliant to get back involved with a proper football club. You know, and hopefully they'll start moving back in the right direction, because it's been a real frustrating season for everybody involved, fans, players, managers, boards. It's been a tough season, and finishing sixth in League One is obviously ultimately not good enough for a club that size. Yep, so they'll be making changes, I think a lot of changes in the summer. So yep, that's pretty much it.
Been a lot of negativity, so much for a long time now. As you say, Falkirk are mid-table in League One, unthinkable really. Would you have still relished that chance to go? And was that a challenge that you would have fancied?
Yeah, I would have loved it. You know, like I said, it's been a really good 4.5 months where, yeah, on results and performances haven't been up to standard. But in terms of the work, in terms of being involved in a football club that things are getting done properly and moving in the right direction, I think that it would have been great to have an opportunity to go and take that forward and build on the work that we've been doing. A lot of stuff behind the scenes as well. But listen, it's a brilliant job. I'm sure there have been a lot of people who will be interested in it. So whichever route they go down, I wish them all the best.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, it certainly looks like it is going to be John McGlynn, Kenny. And that division, though, it's not going to get any easier. Well, we need to wait and see what happens in the playoffs. But Kelty, who've romped League Two and are hugely ambitious, are going to enter the fray. Do Dunfermline drop into that league? And if not, then the Queen's Park stay there, and they're hugely ambitious as well. So it's not going to be easy to get out of next season either, is it?
No, it's not. There's some good teams in there. Obviously Cove have went out. Queen of the South will be coming in for sure. And then you've got good teams, and like, I think Airdrie have had a fantastic season. They really have. Queen's Park have obviously got huge aspirations, I'm sure. Obviously Owen Coyle coming in, and they've got big plans, I think, with new training grounds and stadiums and things moving into next season. So they'll have big plans. If it's not this season, definitely next season. And like you say, it depends what happens in the playoffs. You could have Dunfermline in there. So it'll be a tough league. Kelty have done brilliant, obviously, under Tomo. And they'll come up on a high. You know, there's a lot to be said coming into a division where the reality is there's not a lot between the teams. You know, so coming in on a real high with some big momentum after a league win, I'm sure they'll be wanting to kick on and go again.
Great thing about recent years in Scottish football, Hugh, we're always so quick to, you know, point out what's wrong, but the introduction of the playoffs has been great.
Yeah.
You know, and you're talking about Kenny there, you know, is it going to be Queen's Park? Can they go up? Can Airdrie do it? Are Dunfermline going to drop out of the championship? And it all kicks off this week. And then, at the, you know, the top of the championship are both the fairy tale. Quite finish off. They lie in wait for the winner of Partick Thistle Inverness. Uh-huh. And then, of course, the winner of that would play either, well, Dundee or St Johnstone, but it looks like St Johnstone.
The only way Dick Campbell can compensate himself for not getting the Manager of the Year award last night is to win promotion. And, you know, are both part-time team, but they have it within them to do that. Be very interesting. St Johnstone, I think, are in trouble. And unless they snap out of it, they look as if they don't have the spirit about them to maintain their place in the division. They may now go and prove me entirely wrong, but if I were Stephen Brown, the chairman, and Callum Davidson, the manager, I'd be having sleepless nights.
Should Dick Campbell feel hard done by that his peers did not award him Manager of the Year last night?
Well, all I can say to you is what I said to Dick Campbell, who was at the next table to me. And I said, you should feel proud of yourself, what you've achieved, what you may go on to achieve. If you can take a broth into the Premiership, it would be an astonishing story. So he should be proud of himself. I think the recognition for Dick Campbell and for Arbroath has been widespread, but now they have the hard part to do.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, it's an interesting one. I don't think anyone would have complained if Dick Campbell had won it, especially given I think the votes were probably cast before they found out that they weren't going to win the league, so he would have been in people's minds.
I thought he would have been right up there for it, you know. I mean, there's no doubt in obviously the job that Ange Postecoglou's done, and I think, to be honest, Robbie Nielsen can maybe feel a wee bit aggrieved not to be in the reckoning in terms of the nominees. Malky's had a brilliant season, getting Ross County from where they were at the start of the season into the top six, so really good nominees. But you're right to say, when the time of the voting, the kind of noise surrounding her both and what they had achieved already up until that moment, and they can still go on and finish the job off, you know. But at that moment they were flying high, and there was so much talk about them maybe making the Premier League and winning the Championship. So it was, yeah, it's a bit not surprising, you know, but you can understand if he had got it, there was nobody in that room last night would have said he didn't deserve it.
Yeah, history made last night as well. First PFA awards given to the women's game. It was Celtic's Jacinta who won the Young Player of the Year, Priscilla Chinchilla of Glasgow City winning the main award, if you like. So well done to them. In the men's game, Leila Bada, again, I don't think many complaints. Numbers, Kenny, we always talk numbers. His numbers have been great for someone of his age coming into a new country.
Absolutely, again, coming in, hitting the ground running, putting a lot of goals on the board, a lot of big goals as well, a lot of assists. He's just general all round energy and performance he's brought to the team, and again in a difficult moment at the start of that season, and he's maintained a decent level of form throughout. Even though he's been in and he's been out sometimes, because there's a lot of options in those areas for Celtic, he comes in and he does a fair job, you know. So you can't argue it.
We told you the main awards earlier, but even down the leagues, well done to Joe Cardle of Kelty at League 2, Dylan Easton of Airdrie League 1. And I just love the story of Michael McKenna at Arbroath. He's the top scorer in the Championship. He's a midfielder. 4 years ago, he's playing in League 2. He's an electrician. He then gets time off his work to go and play. He's 30 years of age, and he's the Championship Player of the Year.
Is he the
best player to come out of Musselburgh?
Second best, I'd say, yeah.
I mean, if you're an electrician, you will get wired in.
Oh, dear. I thought it was going to be something about a spark, actually, when you started off, so... Oh dear me, right, we will leave it there, and hopefully we can get the answers to this teaser. 9 players who've won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year, and we're not with Celtic or Rangers at the time, it's this century. So Andy Robertson, Lee Griffiths, Stephen Naismith, Derek Riordan, James McFadden and Kenny Miller.
Ryan Gold?
Nope.
Johnny Russell?
Nope. Right club though, keep going.
Craig Conway.
Right era, wrong player.
David Goodwillie,
well done. What if one of them wasn't at Celtic then, but is it Celtic now? But you've maybe just forgotten, because he doesn't really feature very often.
James McCarthy.
Yes, Hamilton Accies, remember? A wonder kid back in the day. And what do you know, the one that I told you would be here all night for is the one that remains. This one's so tough. I think I'll just need to give you the first of your clues is Aberdeen. Okay, that's not landed, that's not working.
Very young.
Think of something else. No, you're probably not a million miles off era wise. It was 2002.
So Russell Anderson?
A couple of years after you, Kenny, no.
Initials?
Tell you what, if I give you his other club, if you like, you'll get it. It's one of your former clubs. Well, that's not saying much, you've got loads. Cardiff.
Kick Kevin McNaughton.
Kevin McNaughton. There we go. We got there in the end. Thank you, Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans. A really busy show, and thank you to you, because you obviously make it. All the calls, all the tweets, to those of you who just listened on tonight as well, we really appreciate it. It has been a busy night, but we're back tomorrow. So if you couldn't get through tonight, make sure you get in touch. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna will be here. And in the meantime, you might as well stay right there. Lindsay Gibson is up next. She's got you for the rest of the night, and we're back at six tomorrow.